Good morning and welcome back to Central Standard. I'm Gina Kaufman, sitting here with Esther Honig, a young Kansas City journalist and regular KCUR contributor whose portrait has been around the world in far less than 80 days. You've probably heard about her project before and after, but I'm going to start by having her explain it. Good morning, Esther.
Hi, Gina. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being here. Well, tell us the story of before and after. What did you do and why did you do it?
Well, the idea initially came to me while I was at work. I work for a small startup called Dot Uno.
And that's here in Kansas City.
That is here in Kansas City in the Crossroads area. And I first got the idea because my boss introduced me to an international freelancing platform called Fiverr. And so on Fiverr, you can contract individuals for a large array of different work or different gigs. So we're talking animation, graphic design, translation, voiceover. And so one day after using this platform for, you know, a number of weeks, I stumbled upon the Photoshoppers that were the individuals who were offering their services in Photoshop. And I looked at it, and these individuals were from all over the world. And
you see portfolios of their work ahead of time?
You can, yeah, you can. And so I got the idea that not one of these individuals was going to do a very consistent job. So if I sent the same image to, say, five of them, I would get back a very different product at the end. And so I had the idea to start off with this project that would kind of illustrate some ideas of what different concepts of beauty look like around the world.
So you first had to start by taking your own photograph. Were you the one who, was it a selfie or did someone else take it?
There's a local photographer, E.G. Scrump, who took my portrait for me. And so that's how it began. And so with that, it was just a very neutral photo, no makeup, minimal lighting. I wanted it to be as kind of raw and honest as possible.
So I guess from the beginning of taking a photo, you're already making certain decisions. And like you said, you made it, it's very apparent you made every effort to present a clean slate. But there are still certain decisions. So you've chosen facing directly forward. Can you explain some of the specific choices, the pulling the hair back?
I just wanted to be a blank canvas. You know, in this situation, I really offered myself up. It was a bit of a vulnerable choice, or it was, you know, I wanted it to be something that other people would feel open and able to create upon. And so hair pulled back. Maybe they prefer women with longer hair, different color hair. And then I really wanted to see what people would do in terms of how they might reshape my face or what they might do to my face. So I really wanted that to be kind of the main image on the photograph.
And the request you sent with your photograph was just make me beautiful.
The full sentence was, you know, something like, hi, my name is Esther Honig. I would like you to enhance this photo using Photoshop. Please take whatever steps you see necessary and make me beautiful. So the idea was I just wanted to give them as much creative freedom as possible. I thought that it was important that I not encroach too much because I wanted them to, you know, to not have too much of a pressure or influence as to what I wanted. I really wanted them to know that this was about what they wanted to contribute to this image.
Did you send your photo to every freelancer in this group, or did you select them?
Probably just about everyone. And, you know, it was really, it came down to I wanted to get as broad a representation as possible. So I was always searching for a country that I hadn't gathered from yet. And so, you know, I worked with around, you know, a little bit more than 40 individuals. So I used Fiverr, and I probably got as many Photoshoppers from Fiverr as I could. And then I moved on to another platform where I was, you know, could find a broader diversity of individuals. So again, I wasn't looking necessarily for skill level or anything particular about any Photoshopper. It was really just about their nationality, because again, I wanted that representation.
Did you have any preconceived notions about what people might alter about you?
I did assume that there would be alterations to my skin tone. That was probably one of the first things I conceived, just because, I mean, there's a lot of theory behind why so many cultures around the world have such a strong focus on lighter skin and lighter eyes.
So you thought they would lighten you.
Mm-hmm. And that has to do with Eurocentric beauty values, as well as in some countries where, you know, agricultural work is the predominant source of employment. It signifies class. So if I don't have to be out in the sun working in the fields and I'm able to stay indoors and have paler skin for that reason, that then in turn, that becomes kind of a concept of beauty in that culture.
Is what you got back, did it actually unfold along those lines? Did a lot of people lighten your skin?
You know, people did lighten my skin, but there was also, I believe there is the images from Pakistan and India were two examples of how they actually darkened my skin. So that was interesting to see.
Yeah. And were there any aspects of your appearance that seemed to generate a lot of interest on the part of these Photoshoppers that you didn't expect?
Huh. Any aspects? Could you maybe?
Yes, I will share something that we come in some ways from some similar kinds of backgrounds. And my first guess, if I sent my photo to someone, would be that someone would do something with my eyebrows.
Oh, yes. I have natural bushy eyebrows that I don't really do a whole lot to upkeep. And so I definitely think in every single image they've been thinned because, you know, I wouldn't say almost every single image because in a lot of instances, they were, you know, made to be pencil thin. And then, and I think there's two examples of when they were actually darkened and made thicker. So it's interesting, even though these are just two examples of how the desire to be more feminine maybe can be expressed on two different, you know, spectrums in that sense.
Did any of the results you got back disturb you? It must have been in some ways like looking in a funhouse mirror.
It was, and there were a few images that I got, some that aren't part of the public, or sorry, some that aren't part of the collection, that, yeah, when I opened them, they made me, you know, gasp or shriek a little bit. The two Photoshopped images from the U.S. were by far the most startling. And yeah, it does kind of look, it feels like you're looking at the mirror and seeing a reflection of your face, but it's just been, you know, just like pulled apart in some weird ways and misshapen.
So then you compiled the images. How did you originally share the results? It went viral so quickly that I don't actually remember where it started.
So I had kept it on my website. I was slowly collecting image after image. It was something that just started at estherhonig.com. And then when I decided I was ready to publish it, I went to BuzzFeed first. And that was at the suggestion of a few individuals who, you know, suggested that would be the most conducive platform.
It went viral very fast. How did you feel as that was happening? I mean, can you describe from your point of view this story? Tell the story.
Well, first it was published on Fiverr. It was published on BuzzFeed, and I was completely elated and so happy to see where it could go from there. I'd really expected that maybe one or two different media outlets might pick it up. I was hoping, you know, maybe a publication like Huffington Post would find some interest in it, and then. Maybe after a half hour of it being published, I received my first email from Cosmopolitan magazine, and that was completely unexpected, and I was just so surprised. I hadn't expected a reaction like that at all. So I thought that might have been the pinnacle of it, you know, as big as this was going to get, and it just got exceedingly bigger and bigger and bigger. And I've been kind of caught up in a bit of a storm in the past couple of days and really just trying to keep my head above water. I mean, there's been hundreds of emails coming into my inbox and people from all over the world now are asking for permission to publish this.
It's interesting. I have read a critique of the project that suggests that doing interviews with the likes of Elle magazine calls into question resistance to unattainable beauty standards, particularly given that you are already in the original photo what most people would consider to be exceptionally pretty. And in fact, a lot of people, when talking about this, point out that you are conventionally beautiful without Photoshop assistance. Does that affect the results, do you think?
My original image?
Yeah.
You know, does it affect my original? I think that it very well could have affected the not only the reaction that I've received from the public, but I mean also the way that people have chosen to Photoshop my image. But I guess I just kind of pull it back to, I mean, this was a project that I wanted to initiate, and who else? I mean, this is like, again, it's a little bit of self-exploitation in a sense. And so whose image could I necessarily, you know, ethically use besides my own?
Interesting. Well, I have noticed a really prevalent response to this project, which is to start by talking about how interesting it is to see these unattainable and certainly less than universal beauty standards deconstructed before our eyes. But then a conversation can sort of subtly shift into a territory where people are essentially discussing which Esther is the most beautiful. Have you noticed that? That's in the comments on online articles and things.
I have, and I've definitely received a lot of emails and messages sent to me of, oh, well, we, you know, just so you know, the original image is the most beautiful. And I'm not sure if people think that maybe I might have not, you know, if maybe I'm wondering too, which is the most beautiful version of myself. I think that's been the most consistent response that I've seen, at least, is people assuring me that, you know, you're beautiful as you are. So it's been, I didn't expect that. It's been funny.
On ABC News, they even went so far as to use the results to get new ideas for makeup styles based on these foreign beauty ideals revealed by your project. How does that make you feel? Because it does seem like when you hear about your intention, a misread.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I did not understand that that was the direction that they were hoping to take it in. As far as I had understood, we were just doing a straightforward interview. So I was very surprised at those results. And yes, I do feel that ABC definitely missed the mark on that sense. In that sense, this isn't about, I definitely don't want it to be about makeup and you know, glamorizing, like, what is it, you know, what is the Australian look? You know, that was kind of how that reporter used it. But that's not the project at all.
Well, what happened in the hands of Photoshoppers worldwide is a bit of a mystery to many of us. So to help us understand what exactly a Photoshopper's job is when receiving a request like Esther's from a client, we've invited Steve McFarland to the studio. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Gina.
So some people have pointed out that in before and after, part of what you're seeing, in addition to different cultural norms, is different levels of skill using Photoshop.
That's correct. Looking at the results from Esther's project, I kind of had the same impression.
Can you talk a little bit about that? How do you, as a Photoshopper, discern skill level in using these tools when you're looking at the results before you?
Well, as a, you know, as a professional doing this in Kansas City, I kind of usually work with, you know, some of the best photographers around, and the imagery that I work with is usually, you know, stunning. It's really well done. And so I'm kind of coming from Esther's original wasn't a fantastic photo, but the lighting is well thought out and everything is kind of done in the studio. And I sort of am there to kind of enhance that sort of thing.
So the process of making something fit a set of standards for beauty has already begun long before the photograph reaches you.
Absolutely. I think I consider what I do more of a tool for a photographer. I think if I can get in and do what I need to do, and some of it's pretty drastic. I'm not saying that there's tiny little things here, but if I can get in and do what I do with nobody really knowing that I was in there doing it, then I've achieved my goal.
That does not appear to be the goal of all of the Photoshoppers working with Esther's photo.
Right.
Can you talk about maybe a particularly egregious example of one of the photos and sort of what you see the person having done in there?
Well, the United States version, some of the hairstyles were completely, you know, outrageous. And I think they were done to emulate, you know, some pop stars or some other things that they thought were, I don't honestly know where people come up with these sorts of things, but I get the impression that the resource, Fiverr is, you know, it's got its place, but it's relatively limited. And I think people are doing things, they're not really doing them for a client. They're not necessarily trying to do what they think someone else wants them to do. They're not trying to necessarily achieve, a client's perspective of beauty. They're kind of doing what they think because they're doing it quickly and, you know, that sort of thing.
What kind of requests do you typically get most typically when you're getting requests for Photoshopping photos?
Well, you know, I work on all sorts of different things, including people, but there's also, you know, food and there's lifestyle imagery and there's just photography of all sorts. And I have all types of different clients, meaning sometimes photographers, sometimes advertising agencies. They all have different needs. And usually what I do in general is just make things look better. a lot of times.
So what? How do you define that, though? How do you come to your own decision about what better means?
Well, a lot of times it's dictated, and it depends on the client. Really, some clients, it's particularly speaking of portraits, some clients want them. They want people to not look real. They want you to keep going until their skin is perfectly, you know, there's pores in there, but they're all exactly the same size and all their skin tones are exactly the same. Other clients don't want that. They want realistic looking people. They want them to have subtle things cleaned up, such as moles or maybe some kind of a shine on their forehead that might have happened because of some lighting in the studio. A lot of times I'm sort of doing that. And it depends on the client. It also depends on the project.
And I hear that you also work with non-human photos. How does photoshopping, say, a piece of fruit compare to photoshopping a human face?
It's very similar, believe it or not. I mean, I come from a fine arts background, so I look at things as images and things, as opposed to, you know, I don't get emotionally involved with what I'm working with. So it's a photo is an image, and I edit it.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Central Standard on KCUR 89.3 FM. I'm Gina Kaufman talking with Esther Honig, whose Before and After project has really taken the international media by storm, and with Steve McFarland of Steve McFarland Studios. He's a photoshopper. And so let's say that you get a request from someone like Esther. But what is your first step that you take in sort of teasing out what the client wants? Because you've made some references that it depends on what the client wants. How do you figure that out?
Well, I usually have a conversation with the client, just kind of go over and get a feel for what they want. A lot of times I work with a lot of advertising and they will just, you know, they'll send it over. They'll let me know. They'll give me a list. Here's the things. Here are the things. It's marked up. It's a, you know, it's a PDF or it's a layout, and these are the specific things that we want. But I also know that in addition to that, they're kind of, you know, contacting me because they want my expertise and they want my, you know, so they want more than that. And there are some, you know, to be honest with you, there are a few things, like I mentioned, moles, you know, complexions, things like that, that are kind of expected.
Interesting.
And so flyaway hair, things like that.
There is a baseline standard of beauty that a mole and flyaway hairs are undesirable in a portrait.
Correct.
Interesting.
In general.
Esther, do you have any questions for Steve hearing him talk about this process?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
Well, I'm going to get back to Esther again, but what are the trends with Photoshop right now and how have they changed in, say, the last decade?
Well, they're changing pretty rapidly right now in the past couple of years, actually, simply because the tools that are involved are easier to use and they're more inexpensive. And a lot of people can jump in and use them a little without restraint. You know, a lot of people are pretty good at Photoshop. A lot of art directors are good at it. Now there are more of them that are good at it or... And so I think that you're going to start seeing more and more on a different scale, kind of not so great. I mean, eyeballs are going to start being very white and teeth are very white and things like that.
Sort of because like glowing?
It's easy to push a button and do that. It's getting easier and easier.
Do projects like Esther's play an important role in helping us maintain a certain awareness that there are adjustments happening and that there's I don't know, a certain subjectivity, like a person's opinion has colored the reality that we look at when we consume so much media.
Absolutely. I think it's a great project. And I think it'd be interesting to see just a United States version, because I think every different region is going to have a different impression. I know we all kind of watch USA TV, so we kind of get that. But besides that, there are different impressions locally. That might be more subtle, but I think it'd be interesting.
So like a Kansas City version.
Right.
But there was a San Francisco version that has come out. Esther, can you talk about that? I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, I thought it was absolutely hilarious. And that was by The Bold Italic, which is a blog out of San Francisco. I thought that was a really funny play on the whole concept that I had. And it just kind of really shows you that it can really be taken in so many directions.
Can you talk a little bit about some of the photos in that, like, changed you into a man?
Yeah.
What was that like to see yourself that way?
It was really funny. And, you know, since then, I've been gathering so many images from people all around the world who have been changing my – they've been taking the original photo offline and then photoshopping it themselves to kind of give me an example of the country that they're from or the culture that they think I missed and didn't represent. So now I just have this huge collection of images, and there have been some very ridiculous ones in there. There have been lots of beards. There's been pirate images and cat images, alien images, and it's been strange. It's been an interesting experience for sure.
So, Steve, let's get back to this hypothetical where Esther is your client. She sent you the photo she used as her before image, and the job, as she's explained it to you, is to make her beautiful. What is your next step?
That's a tough question. I think I would do subtle things, just kind of generally refine it. There's
the photo itself rather than Esther.
Esther is the photo. I mean, it's a very riveting image. I think her eyes are staring right at you. There's something, you know, when you look at it, it kind of gets your attention. So there's not really much else going on except her face and her head. So yes, I think I might refine it. I'm not sure if I would do as many drastic things as they do in other countries, such as, you know, eye makeup and different coloring of things and lightening her eyes. I might subtly do that stuff, but maybe without turning it on and off, you might not necessarily see such a drastic change on stuff that I would do.
Esther, is there anything about this project that you wish you had done differently, or a direction that you hope to take it in that you didn't yet?
If I had done anything differently, I really would have taken the time to gather more images. If I had known that it would get this much attention, I wish I had a collection of, say, 200 images versus just, you know, the 40 or more that I have.
What would that have done for you?
I think it would have given it a broader range of people, you know, of examples to look at. I really feel like I've just pulled from such a small pool, and now that so many people's eyes are on this project, it could have been maybe even more insightful had I had a stronger representation.
Well, that's all the time we have for today's conversations on Central Standard. Thanks so much to Esther Honig and Steve McFarlane for being here. It's been a fascinating discussion, you guys.
Thank you, Gina.
Thanks, Gina.
Esther is a freelance journalist and KCUR contributor. Steve comes to us from Steve McFarlane Studios. To listen back to today's show or any previous conversations, go to kcur.org/centralstandard. You can also follow us on Twitter. Our handle is @KCURCST. Have you ever wondered why Kansas City is home to so many school districts? Tune in tomorrow to learn about a proposal to combine them from the 1960s. Central Standard is produced by Matthew Long Middleton and Sylvia Maria Gross. I'm Gina Kaufman. Stick around for Up to Date next.
You're everything I need.